Good morning. Things are going to be a little different this morning than what they usually are for a regular service. Welcome back. So I'm going to keep that in mind this morning as we go along. You're actually going to be blessed with two speakers this morning. How do you like those apples? That all being said, we've been talking about putting on the whole armor of God. We've been talking about how that is to be done in prayer and for prayer. And we understand how prayer vital is to our congregation, or at least we should. It's one of the first things that we should be doing. Every time Jesus went to do something, he prayed beforehand. Paul talks about prayer. He prayed for us already in Ephesians. We talked about the prayer there. In fact, I prayed that over you last week. But there are things that can block our prayers, that can hinder our prayers, if you will. Things that we must do battle with if we want to build on what was laid down for us. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read just a few verses here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 10. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Right? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm going to paraphrase some of this as we go through there. We're battling against rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this present darkness. We have to take up the whole armor of God so that we can withstand the evil day, so that we can put up with the schemes of the enemy, so we can fight against those schemes. Then we're supposed to put on the belt of truth, have integrity, right? Put on the breastplate of righteousness, which Steve did a very good job of explaining this morning. We have to put on his righteousness, not our own. Then we put on, and as shoes for our feet, the gospel of readiness. And in all circumstances, we're to take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Shield in one hand, sword in the other. Keep that in mind. That's important. And I've been telling you that all along, right? Got to have both of those things. If you're a believer, if you are a Christian, then you have received the armor of God. It's been given to you. All of it. Put it on. That's what we're called to do, right? We have talked about how each piece is to work and how we are to use them in defending ourselves from the flaming darts of the evil one and his minions. We as believers, as Christians, are to wage peace. Think about it. We're not at war with anyone. We are with the cosmic powers, with the evil one, but not against any flesh and blood enemies. We don't have enemies per se. It's the evil one behind them that is influencing them, that is pushing them. So we wage peace. The spiritual battle we fight is to be fought on our knees first, and then as the Lord leads us in this world according to God's word and his will, and not our own. Our spiritual armor and the weapons we have been given are to be used in waging peace, to spread the gospel of peace by the very Prince of Peace. Think about that. Now remember what peace is. It's completeness, right? It's that completeness. The Hebrew word we translate as peace is shalom. I'm probably mispronouncing it, so just forgive me. And it is defined as completeness, soundness, welfare, or wholeness, all right? It's all of those things together. It's healing. It's all of it. And then the Greek word is eirene. Am I getting that right? Oh, good. Eirene, which can still conveys the idea of wholeness and of coming together and of peacefulness or quietness, okay? So we understand that what the words mean here. So when we talk about spreading peace, we're trying to spread wholeness. People are not complete without God. Think about that. In a world that is divided with political ideology, racial tensions, gender confusion, and so many other issues, should we not be seeking to bring peace? We, the church, should we not be doing that? To wage peace, especially within the church and amongst ourselves as a congregation. Isn't that what we should be doing? Especially amongst ourselves. Are we not called to be messengers of reconciliation? 2 Corinthians 5, right? Good chapter to read. Part of your further reading, I believe. If it isn't, add it to it. We're told to be messengers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ. The enemy is still out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's after you. He's after me. He's after the church. Because if he can stop the church from being the church, he can keep us right where we're at. He's happy. He's very happy. We are to keep him from gaining a foothold, according to the New Living Translation and a couple other ones, in our lives. We don't want him to have a chance to get a hold of anything. We're not to give him an opportunity, as the ESV puts it. The verse in it's verse 4, 26 and 27. They tell us, and do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. And yes, that's from the Amplified. Gives a better understanding of what we're not to do, not giving him an opportunity to lead you into sin, to lead us into sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. And then we're talking about that further on, but that's not the major concern this morning. For such a one, the punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. And this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs, his schemes. He wants you to hang on to that hurt. He wants you to hang on to that betrayal, to whatever it is. He wants you to hang on to that because then he has you right where he needs you. Pastor and author Dave Willis wrote these words. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting, and it doesn't mean our pain does not matter. Forgiveness means choosing to let go of the anger, the pain, and the toxic temptation to seek revenge. Forgiveness means putting all that in God's hands so that we don't have to carry it anymore. It means choosing to pursue healing instead of bitterness. Forgiveness is a choice. These are my words, not his. Forgiveness is a choice. To forget is near impossible. We may forget for a moment or two, not remember, but we often can't forget willingly. God chooses to forget, to cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, to remember it no more, to not bring it to mind. Now, I can remember that part. I can remember not to bring it to mind. And when I found myself, oh, that person's over in that other aisle, I heard him laugh over there. I'm not going over there. I'm not going to do that because I'll run into him. I'll have to talk to him. And he talks and talks. And now I'm talking about me. But we don't have to carry the pain. We don't have to carry the hurt. We can, by God's grace, choose to forgive, to let it go. Because that's what it means to do, to forgive. I need someone to volunteer for just a few minutes up here first. Can you, somebody come up here? Oh, come on. All right. Thank you, Vern. I need you to stand right here. Okay, your back's strong enough to hold a couple things, right?
Sure.
All right. This is unforgiveness. Hold that. And that's granite. Or at least it feels like it to me. Now, God wants you to take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit.
Sorry, I let this go.
I want you to just... this is a shield. No matter what it looks like, it's a shield. Thank you, Roseanne, wherever you're at. This is the shield. Okay, you can hold on to the shield. But can you take the sword of the Spirit? You have to set something down.
Let something go. This or this.
What is it we're told not to hang on to?
This right here.
Can you do that? Thank you.
Gladly. I'd sooner have this than that.
Yes. I'm just trying to give you a visual here, okay? This is a really nice shield. I thought I had one, but this is what I ended up with. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
He's taking his... all right. Oh. We're supposed to leave that at the foot of the cross. Right? Anything that's burdening us, hurt, betrayal, whatever it is, we're to leave that at the foot of the cross. Now, backing up a little bit. How can we claim to be messengers of reconciliation when we are holding on to something that we are commanded to let go of? How can we do that? And what if what you are holding keeps you from moving forward in your spiritual growth? What if it, even worse, if it stops the church? You're the church. What if it stops you from doing what God's called you to do? Or what the church has been called to do, and you're part of that? It's not... Is not unforgiveness a scheme of the enemy? The enemy of our very souls. Are we told not to forgive and that we will be forgiven? Jesus said those. Right after the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive and you will be forgiven. There's nothing that doesn't say, you know, there's the added part of that, well, what if I don't forgive? We never think about that. We just read it and move on. What if we're not forgiving? The enemy of our souls wants us to hang on to hurt, to betrayal, to something that we will not let go of, so that we are stuck and ineffective as individuals and as a church. When Jesus set the 72 out, right? And you can read about that, and I didn't mark it down in here. Luke, I think it was chapter 10. When he said, it is Luke 10. And they were to take nothing with them that would weigh them down. Nothing that would keep them from moving forward and from building on what Jesus Christ had sent them to do. They could take nothing with them. Just the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, his righteousness, the gospel of salvation, all of those things. That's what he sent them out with. Nothing else. There's a risk in relationships. Pastor, when I first started attending church and became a Christian, I was asked to be a part of a group. And as part of that group, I was asked on that group. I was elected, voluntold, to be the head of that group. We were sent as the elders of the church to talk with the pastor and meet with him and decide, make decisions for the church. We met the first time under the new bylaws, new groups. And when we met the second time, the pastor handed us his resignation. I had been in small groups with this man. I had studied with this man. And I felt betrayed. I was hurt. This was someone I trusted. Now, that all being said, him and I are very good friends. But I had to forgive. I had to let it go. And did it happen that day? No. Did I forget? Obviously not. But I did learn to forgive. And sometimes it's a choice, a daily choice, an hourly choice, a minute-by-minute choice. There's a gentleman from the church that Mindy and I attended. His name is the first name, my name, Kenny. Kenny's son was run over by, on his motorcycle, was run over by a drunk driver and drugged for over a mile by his helmet. Kenny had to go down to court to testify, to be there. I don't know how he did it. But Kenny went up to the individual and said, I forgive you. And he told me that. And I'm struggling with it. And I never met his son. I just kept imagining my kid being drugged that far by someone who was irresponsible. Forgiveness is a choice. We have to make that choice. Again, there's a risk in any relationship. But to stand, to quote Garth Brooks, to stand outside the fire, to keep yourself away, to not be involved, is only hurting yourself and God's church. It's time to let go so that we can start building on all the good that we have so that we can move forward as a body of Christ, as a part of the body of Christ, as a congregation of God's church, and as individuals. There's something I want you to understand, and I'm saying this because of what I have experienced. I was not hired to do a job. This church did not hire me. To quote Pastor Henry Scoff, you couldn't pay me enough. God called me here. I am not a hireling, a hired hand that flees when the wolf is at the door, to quote from John 10. Or at the first sign of trouble. Nor can I be lured away to greener pastures. I just got done fixing up the basement, buddy. We're not going nowhere. I was called here by God, and I will remain here, faithful to that calling until He calls me home or I become unfit to do what He's called me to do. That's what I'm telling you. As your pastor, I ask for your forgiveness if I have done anything to offend you. And I'm going to ask it beforehand because I'll probably do something before long. Come and talk with me. We'll talk about it. And I will show you where you were wrong. Seriously. We all make mistakes. I'm just as human as the next person. And as your pastor, and as a pastor, I ask forgiveness for pastors who may have caused you hurt, made you feel unvalued, who may have deceived you, confused, or led you astray. I confess for the position of pastor, for those who were overbearing, for the my way or highway attitude, for the legalism, for the betrayal, for the upheaval, and for the sin of adultery that took place against you, against God, and against His church. This is not easy. Both sides. But I ask you to forgive. People are human beings. They make mistakes. They fall. And pastors are just as human as anyone else. But we answer to a higher calling. So I ask your forgiveness on all of that. And for all of that. And for anything I didn't think of. Because we need to have healing. We need to let go of what's holding us back. And I'm right there with you. I find myself bitter at times because I see what the church could have been, where we were at. So I have to forgive as well. I told you today's service was going to be different, and I meant it. We're going to play a couple songs here in a couple minutes, and it gives you opportunity to come and pray. It's about prayer, right? Put on the whole armor. If you can't pick up the sword and the shield, whatever it is that's keeping you there, put it down at the foot of the cross and leave it for God to take care of, because only He can. Only He can bring the healing that we need as individuals and as a church. We have, as a congregation, must let go of the past, forgive and move forward, building on what has been laid down for us, the good that has been laid down for us as a congregation, the solid foundation that started with Jesus Christ and was built upon by all those who came before us. Give that burden you're carrying to the Lord this morning. Would the praise team come, please? Let's go to the Lord. Father, we do give you thanks and praise that you have set an example for us and that we're to forgive as you forgive. Lord, I confess my anger. I confess my bitterness, Lord, over things that have happened in the past. And I ask, Lord, that you forgive. And Lord, as we come to you today, hear our prayers. Forgive us. And help us, Lord, to be the people you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take communion. And that's why I was running around getting all the kids and everybody in here so we could do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll get to. I'm going to read to you from chapter 10, just a little bit before he talks about communion with them. He says, I speak to a sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. I always like to think of that verse as, well, we live in the United States. The grain that makes the bread comes from all over the United States. And it's ground into flour and sent out. And we don't know where it comes from. But we know this. It took a lot of that to make it into bread, to make that flour. All that grain ground up and put together becomes one thing, one body, if you will, just as we have become one body. 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are told to go and make ourselves right with someone we have offended or hurt before we go to the altar and give up our sacrifice. We've done that, I think, this morning. I think we've let go of things we've held on to for a long time. So we're going to take communion. So on the night, and by the way, in the middle is gluten-free, just so you know. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he prayed. So would you pray with me? Father, we remember. We remember, Lord, all that was done for us. We remember, Lord, that we have been forgiven of so much. We remember the life that was given, the blood that was shed. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Help us, Lord, to be as forgiving, to let go as you did. In Jesus' name, amen. And he took and he broke it. And he said, this is for you, my body given for you. I didn't ask for volunteers, just like I forgot to ask for volunteers to go get the kids. So I need a couple volunteers. Oh, yes. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. And goodbye. Come on, two more. We're going. All right. Help Lindsay.